Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is part one of Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
Why did Yahweh bring us out of Egypt? To show us that you could be brought out. And he's showing us that he didn't need an army to bring us out. He just educated one man. And this one man, educated all of Israel. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, read.
Speak ye unto all the congregation.
Yahweh said, look, I'm not going to go speak to everybody. Moses, Aaron, I want you to go and speak to all of Israel. Now, see, the difference between some of you and Moses and Aaron is they did what he said. So you now have the opportunity to do what I say. And notice, see, there's no room in verse 1, 2, and 3 for Moses and Aaron to come up with their own program. You know, if you let us go, you know, move around, I mean, we'll come up with a program in a minute. We are so funny. I just have to laugh at you. You're beautiful and I love you. But see, you keep trying to be God. And you haven't gotten there yet. You just keep trying. What does this mean? See, Moses and Aaron didn't come up with their program. Yahweh did not tell Moses and Aaron, well, go into the library and do some research and see if you can work up a plan of salvation for Israel. You wonder why black folk are so confused in America? They have a leader in every house. There's a black leader in every house. Ask women. Most women have heard the man say, I wear the pants. I'm trying to figure out what that means. I'm a man and have on pants, but I never figured out what that meant. I wear the pants. I mean, you know where pants fit the body? And you have to remind a woman about that? You don't have to remind her about that. She's controlling you and that. Most times, anyway. Maybe not every time, but most times. Moses and Aaron did not have their own program. Neither did Yahweh instruct them to go try and formulate one. Yahweh gave them what he wanted. He said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of all months. I don't care what you learn in Egypt. Now, I want you to go to all of Israel and speak to them and tell them that. What I just told you, you go tell them. And they didn't say, well, Yahweh, you know best. Why don't you go tell them? See, we have people so crazy today. It was probably a lot of Israel just as crazy, too. That's why he chose Moses and Aaron. That's why he chose Moses, because he knew most of the rest of them were crazy. Oh, hallelujah, Yahweh. The truth is so beautiful. Here Yahweh has instructed Moses, speak to all the congregation of Israel and say this. So he gave him what to say. Moses and Aaron, I'm telling both of y'all what to say. But Yahweh educated one, and then he talked to two. When he talked to two, it caused a little confusion down the road. Because one of them wanted to say, well, I don't have to listen to you, Moses. His sister initiated that stuff, see. She initiated it. She stirred that up, started that stuff. Woman, not satisfied with the garden. It starts something else, all the way back down here with Moses. Yahweh talked to us too. We seen him. I've been to the feast. I heard what Yahweh been Yahweh said. Become interpreters for me. Woo! Oh, it's not just women. Brothers do the same. It seems that Yahweh can succeed in delivering a whole nation of people by educating one man. It's the message right here at the Feast of Passover. Read verse 3 again.
Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house.
Notice, the message is to be delivered to whom? Well, what about the Egyptians?
Well, I don't want to be saved if the Egyptians came here. What about the Egyptians being saved? So you're going to deliver all Israel. What about the Egyptians?
Who says that in America today? What does my people say in America today? I come to you with a message for you, black man. What does he say?
What about white folks?
Now, I wouldn't have any problems with that if he said, what about Chinese? What about Japanese? What about the Indian? Who was here before white folks and all of us came? What about the Indian? What about the Cubans, South Americans, and the Africans, and the Japanese? You notice my people never say that. They're only concerned about Pharaoh.
What about Pharaoh?
But see, Yahweh didn't send the message to Pharaoh. He had something for Pharaoh, all right. He already tried Pharaoh in Exodus 5, too. He tried him first. Pharaoh said, I don't know no Yahweh. I don't even know him. Don't want to know him. Don't know his voice. Don't want to hear his voice. And don't come to me telling me nothing about what he said, because I'm not letting no Israel go. What about other people? Do they have a chance to come here? Yes. Do all people and all nations know I'm in this city? We have proof. They all know I'm here. Do they know the nights I teach? Then why aren't they here? They know what I teach. It's the opposite of what they teach. I teach morality. Goodness. They must not love goodness. They must love TV. Which teaches what? You know, don't you? Verse 4. Read.
And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the Lamb.
Now, the one message out of this verse is neighbors sharing food. If the household is too little, too small to eat all this lamb, don't do like black folk in America do. Put it in the freezer, see it spoil and throw it in the garbage can and give it to the dogs before they share it with their neighbor. So I teach this lesson. I've already taught it to you tonight, that if I have a bowl of soup, see, what is that? Sharing. We used to share as a people. But we've come to the point now that when people, when you have your food on the table and somebody ring the doorbell, you hide all the food, close the kitchen, and burn incense. Because you don't want to tell nobody, have some. So you're not even going through taking no chances. If you didn't get a chance, you thought it was one of the kids, and you opened the door and it was somebody else, you say, well, dinner's still cooking. If it was ready, I'd invite you for dinner, but it's not done yet. It's been done an hour. Got all the plates out, getting ready to get it on the table, and telling lies because you don't want to share any. So the thing you have to learn here to be delivered, you're going to have to learn to share. That's the verse then. That's what I'm reading. And if it's too much for you and your neighbor, go on down the line. Just take out enough for you and your family to eat. And after that, you should realize that our family is big. It's more than one person. It's more than the address where you live. That's a hard lesson to learn in America. Verse 5, read.
Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats.
Boy, that's a heavy verse there. That verse carries so much wisdom, it's unreal. Your lamb shall be without wrong. The lamb is meek. And when you go back into your mind, you can have the milk of the word, and you can have the meat of the word. And this is saying that Israel has been so educated now that they are ready for the meat of the word. They've grown beyond the milk stage. So now you must have the word, the heavy word. The meat is more difficult to digest. So now, in order to be delivered, you must have messages and knowledge and understanding from Yahweh that's more difficult to understand, but you must eat it anyway, and it must be without wrong. In America, it's difficult for you to eat the words that are without wrong in them. There's no wrong in them. They're perfect. They're absolutely moral. And brothers must become more than a male. If you're only a male, you're going to be sacrificed. You know how you run around and you think, I'll wear the pants? You think that being a male makes you a man? No. And you can't be goat-headed. You must be separated from the goat. You study the nature of a goat and go running out there in the pen where goats are. You'll find out how they are. Verse 6, read.
And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Looks like that some separation just went on. That what you're going to have to eat has to be separated. Keep it up. What does keep it up mean? Huh? It cannot eat what it normally eats. The diet has to be restricted to a cleansing diet. So you have books to read in America, but they're not clean books. So you need a book that's separated from all the other books. And let your mind feast on that. And you're going to have to kill that immorality. All of Israel is going to have to kill immorality and eat an unblemished word. Leviticus 23:5. What is the 14th day? Passover? Very important day. Leviticus 23:5. Read.
In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord Yahweh's Passover.
Okay, go back to Exodus 12, verse 14. Read.
And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord Yahweh throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever.
How long?
Forever.
Verse 18.
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even.
Chapter 13, verse 3. Exodus 13, verse 3. Read.
And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord Yahweh brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten.
Verse 10, read.
Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
What's the message we keep getting here from Yahweh through his servant? What? Keep the ordinance? How long? Are we in forever? Are we a part of forever? Then does this apply to our lives? It certainly does. So what's your pleasure? What's the pleasure of America? What are the people out in this city doing now? Keeping it? What about the cities you came from? What are they doing? Keeping it? Are they interested in the ordinance? Are they just like Pharaoh in Egypt? Who is this Yahweh and all these ordinances and all these rules and regulations, man? I mean, what difference does it make about some old dumb lamb and keeping it up and stuff? Doesn't make sense to me. If you go out into the street and the highways and the byways in this city and across the country and you talk about this, what kind of reception are you likely to receive? A negative? Why a negative? Ignorant. Blind, deaf, dumb, ignorant, and rebellious. What when you take them and show them, this is what Yahweh said for you to do forever. What will some still do? Walk away from it? You mean some will walk away from this? And act like you said nothing? What about let them read it for themselves? I know that'll change them. When you let them read the good book, notice what it is called, the good book. Why is the book that gathers the most dust on it in earth is the good book? Isn't that something to think about? If you lay a lot of books down, you lay some naked women down, lay Hustler and Playboy down, and lay the Bible down, and tell me which one America is going to pick up. I mean, here's a man got a wife and several girlfriends, and you put down a Hustler and the Bible, and he'll pick up Hustler. True or false? So the love of man has been misplaced. How many admit that our people in America need education of Yahweh? That this is what's missing. People consider this lesson boring. Yeah. A message like this, start looking at the watch. Let's see. I mean, as if he has somewhere to go tomorrow. I got a little business to take care of. Don't have any money. I mean, it really looks serious, too, yeah. What time your watch out? Well, I got a little business to take care of right now. I'll check with the ladies. You tell me about that later, then. True or false?
True.
We're talking about salvation. Keeping this ordinance forever. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. Read.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it.
Okay, let's go back to verse 6 again. Read verse 6 again.
And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Now here's one lamb, and all of Israel must participate in the killing of it. Think about that. Something interesting about that. Numbers chapter 9, verse 3. Okay, read.
In the 14th day of this month, at even. Ye shall keep it in his appointed season. According to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it.
So we have some ceremonies to do tonight. Some rites to do tonight. How many want to participate in these rites, in this ceremony? It's commanded, it's written, it's demanded. Moses didn't argue about it. And he was told to go educate all of Israel about it. Well, there's some folk out there, you try to educate them tonight, they aren't listening. Deuteronomy 16:1, read.
Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord Yahweh thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord Yahweh thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night.
Verse 6 of that same chapter, read.
But at the place which the Lord Yahweh thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt.
This is the season. You can do this where you want to. At the place where Yahweh chooses to place his name is where you must do it. How long? You can choose where Yahweh's name is to be placed. It's where he chooses. It's where Yahweh chooses to place his name. Who's talking to you? How long is this to be? You've read tonight. It's how long? All right. Sound like we're getting to have a clear picture here. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. Read.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it.
Now, are we going to go out and get some lamb or some sheep and get some cups of blood and go out on our house and put blood all on the doorposts and stuff? Most of us don't have doorposts. Some of us don't have a house. We live in somebody else's apartment. How many would like to see what that really means today? It's answered in the book what it means. I'm not just going to say this. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, explains what it means today. It gets to be incredible knowledge once you get off on this track. Ezekiel 9:4. Read.
And the Lord Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
notice that there's a substitute for the blood of the lamb. It becomes what? A mar. Where? On your forehead. All the men that are tired of the abominations must have a mark upon their forehead. That's the only way you're going to be saved. In Egypt, you were saved by blood on the doorpost from a lamb. Now the lamb is with you, and you can't kill the lamb. The lamb that is with you is without blemish, without wrong. It doesn't matter what you think. The lamb is without wrong. I shut myself up. My message is perfect. And I'm telling you, you must now have to be saved and delivered and brought out of America. You must have a mark upon your forehead. Now, what you mean, what kind of mark? You going to hit me in the head with a hammer? Cut me with a knife? Burn me with a torch? Oh, Lord, I don't want to get no marks on me. How many would like to know about this mark that you're supposed to get up on your face? See, I heard about 666, man. I ain't going for no 666 now. They're talking about putting a mark up on my forehead with 666. And here you come talking about, I got to have a mark on my forehead, y'all. You know what I mean? I thought. You're going to have to be marked by one of us, either me or Satan. You thought all you had to do was avoid Satan's mark, 666, in your forehead. See, now you got another mark coming. I'm going to knock one upside your head. Want to know about it? Revelation 7:3. Future, huh? Read.
Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God Yahweh in their foreheads.
And I told you I was the lamb, and you're not going to get to kill me this time. Revelation 14:1. Read.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
I am that lamb. I am the lamb. See, they killed it before, but you can't kill it. You can't kill it. They killed one. They killed a lamb. They've been killing sheep all the time, symbolically. But see, you can't kill me. Don't you see this? Don't you see the result? Because there's going to be 144,000 of you that are going to stand with me. I'm not worried about, am I going to get my 144,000 of you. I am. Every one of you that come to me are part of that 144,000. Praise God. That's what Passover is all about. You giving up your slave name and receive my father's name. I'm your example. I have received my Father's name. And Passover, in order for you to be delivered from America, you must have my Father's name written where? In your forehead. That's deeper than simply being able to say the name. It must be indelibly imprinted, written. That no matter what anybody says or does, Yahweh is written in your forehead. No matter how anybody treats you, Yahweh's name is still written in your forehead. Nobody can take it out. They may put you out their house, but they can't put Yahweh out of your mind. That's real. That's incredible, too. Revelation 9:4. This is going to blow you right on into a real understanding. Read.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads.
When you watch the news, you watch television, you see men dying. Right on the screen, you see their brains blown out. Gassed to death by the thousands. Chemical warfare, that's all going on now. Bombs being dropped. People throw a rock and get shot to death. Beaten to death all across America and the world. But why? Because they do not have the seal of my Father Yahweh's name written in their forehead. These are the examples that Yahweh is using. The men that are being hurt. These are the men that the angels ought to hurt. The only ones they're not allowed to hurt are those who have my Father's name sealed in their forehead. Revelations 13:16. Revelations chapter 13, verse 16 and 17. Read.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Now what does that say? That's what I said to you earlier. There's two marks. One from Satan and one from Yahweh. Notice where the battle is being fought. It's being fought in the mind. Notice what the battle is about and what the prize is. What is it? Your mind. And guess who has to make the choice? That makes this what kind of day? Judgment day. You have to choose this day whom you are going to serve. Whether it be Satan or Yahweh. Either way it goes, you are going to have a mark. One mark is going to cause you to be hurt by the angels of Yahweh. The other mark, 666, which belongs to Satan, he threatens you with starvation. That you won't be able to own a business or run a business or make money unless you have his mark. Now you have to make a choice between the man that can destroy your body or choose the man that can destroy both body and soul and cast it in hell. You have to choose this day who you fear the most. The devil himself says he's going to do something to you, and you should be killed or hurt and punished, not be allowed to live, eat, buy, or sell if you don't receive his mark. Then the other one says, if you don't have my mark, my angel are going to hurt you. Either way, you are faced with a painful decision, but the results will be different. One will carry you life temporary. One carries life eternal. Woo, what a choice. What a choice. Revelation 20 and 4. This is awesome here to read this one. Read. This is frightening one here. Read.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahweh ben Yahweh and for the word of God Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Yahweh ben Yahweh 1,000 years.
See, now some will be beheaded. Ooh, ooh. You have to choose the fear of losing your head or not worship the beast. So you have to have already lost your head to worship the devil anyway. Oh, I lose my head. You've already lost it if you worship the Satan. It's obvious you have lost it. I'm coming so you can say I've been found. I was lost, but now I'm found. This is some class. I don't know if you're enjoying it like I am, but Daniel 7:9.
I beheld till the thrones were cast down, And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire.
See, the Ancient of Days, Yahweh Almighty, has woolly hair. He has a throne. Judgment is being set. I'm here to set judgment. You have to judge tonight. How many can feel I have to make a choice who I'm going to serve? Is it clear? I mean, I hope I'm making it clear. I'm letting you read your choices. I'm not making this up. How many can tell the word is talking to you? Hear ye the words of the Lord Yahweh, O my people. Matthew 19:28. Truly I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you that follow me in the regeneration, when I shall sit in the throne of my glory, then you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Means I come with rulership in my hand. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Am I going to sit on the throne, honey? As surely as I started with me alone and have done this work that you see, I shall surely complete the rest of it. Those that I choose to mesmerize with materialistic accomplishment. When you see me take the old apartment buildings and all destroyed property and I make it like new, the world marvels and the news media all come and question me about our latest acquisitions and property we bought and what we've done with it and what we're doing with it. But do you know the real reason they come? The real reason they come, it's not because I've taken some old beat up, run down, destroyed apartment and kick out crack cocaine and drugs and crime and prostitutes. No, that's not, that's what they talk about, but they're all the nations of the earth understand what they're talking about when they show me taking you and doing that. Me taking destroyed property that's full of crime and dope and drugs and I get rid of it. They are marveling that I have taken a destroyed people whose minds have been totally destroyed and that I have rebuilt you and set you free from being the criminal, from having a criminal like mine, from accepting crime as a way of life, and that you are helpless in the face of doing something about it. I'm showing the world that I'm taking a people who have been a victim of the world's greatest criminal, the thief and the murderer, our enemies that have brought us and put us in slavery. I have taken you, rescued your minds from them, and I am rebuilding your minds and making it new inside and out. I am causing you to be reformed, cast off the old man and take on a new man. I'm causing you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So when they come and ask me about the physical building, they know I'm building a spiritual building in you which shall never be destroyed. That's what they're coming to see. That's the deliverance from America. And while you think on your deliverance, because I'm not even remotely through with this, something, now I want you to sit as you get prepared to receive these plates and be absolutely quiet and just think about it. If you have never done it before, wonder what it means. And if you have participated in Passover, then consider and think on and meditate what you know it to mean. And compare our deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt and our need for deliverance today.
This concludes part one of Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord Yahweh Ben Yahweh.